Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we continue to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we will be reading from text number 8, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check, 8 and 9. Yeah, text number 8 and number 9. Please repeat. Na eva kinchit karomi iti yuktaha manjeta tatvavet pashyan shrinvan sprishan jigran ashnan gachan svapan shvasan pralapan Vishrijan Grinan Unmishan Nimishan Api Indriyani Indriya Arteshu Vartante Iti Dharayan Neva Kinchit Karometi Yukto manjeta tatvaved Pajyan srinvan sprishan jigran Ashnan gachan svapan svasan Pralapan vishrichan grinan Unmishan nimishan api Indriya indriyarteshu Vartanta iti dharayan Neva kinchit karomiti Yukto manjeta tatvaved Pashyan shrinvan sprishan jigran Asnan gachan svapan shvasan Pralapan vishrijan grinan Unmishan nimishan api Indriya indriyarteshu Vartanta iti dharayan Naiva kinchit karomiti Yukta manjeta tatvaved Pashyan shrinvan sprishan jigran Asnan gachan svapan shvashan Pralapan vishrijan grinan Unmishan nimishan api Indriyan indriyarteshu Vartante iti dharayan Like the chant? Go ahead. Naiva kinchit karomiti Yukta tatvavit. Bhajan Srinvan Srishan Jigran Ashnan Kachan Svapan Svashan Pralapan Vishrijan Grinan Unmishan Nimishan Api Indriyan Indriyarteshu Vartante Iti Dharayan. Please repeat. Na, never, eva, certainly, kinchit, anything, karomi, I do, iti, thus, yuktaha, engaged in the divine consciousness, manyeta, thinks, tatvavit, one who knows the truth, pashyan, seeing, shrinvan, hearing, sprishan, touching, jigran, smelling, ashnan, eating, gachan, going, svapan, dreaming, shvasan, breathing, pralapan, talking, vishrijan, giving up, grinan, accepting, unmishan, opening, nimishan, closing, api, in spite of, indriyani, the senses, indriya arteshu, in sense gratification, Vartante, let them be so engaged. Iti, thus, dharayan, considering. Translation. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping, and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness is pure in his existence, and consequently he has nothing to do with any work which depends upon five immediate and remote causes. The doer, the work, the situation, the endeavor, and fortune. This is because he is engaged in the loving transcendental service of Krishna. Although he appears to be acting with his body and senses, he is always conscious of his actual position, which is spiritual engagement. In material consciousness, the senses are engaged in sense gratification. But in Krishna consciousness, the senses are engaged in the satisfaction of Krishna's senses. Therefore, the Krishna-conscious person is always free, even though he appears to be engaged in affairs of the senses. Activities such as seeing and hearing are actions of the senses meant for receiving knowledge, whereas moving, speaking, evacuating, etc. are actions of the senses meant for work. A Krishna-conscious person is never affected by the actions of the senses. He cannot perform any act except in the service of the Lord, because he knows that he is the eternal servitor of the Lord. Om agyana timrandasya gyananjana salakya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistang stapitang yena butale swayang rupa kadamayang dadati swapadantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunatang Vitang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitang Savadutang Prijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ebacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Naiva kinchit karo miti yukto manjeta tatvavit Pashan srinvans prishan jigran Ashnan kachan svapan svasan Pralapan vishrijan grinan Unmishan nimishan api Indriyan indriyarteshu Vartante iti dharayan So, when we were reading this, especially when you were reading it, I was thinking, you know, sometimes we forget, but this was spoken 5,000 years ago by Lord Krishna. I mean, that is how we understand it. And it's amazing. It's such a poetry, how Krishna speaks. Prabhupada used to say that in the spiritual world, every step is a dance and every word is a song. So this is how they speak. Naiva kinchit karomi ti yukto manjeta tatvavit. It's very pleasing to the ear, you know. And yeah, sometimes we forget because it's a book of knowledge. And it's a philosophical book, and at least if I speak for myself, you know, I get very studious and let me learn it and what does the Sanskrit means. But sometimes we forget that this is Lord Krishna speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield, and it's eternal. It's God speaking. It's inconceivable for us actually how to really understand that God came 5,000 years ago and he spoke this to Arjuna, and at the same time, it's eternal. Bhagavad Gita is, yeah, it's eternal. Everything Krishna does, it's eternal. It's kind of mind-boggling, inconceivable. Anyway, this verse is rather technical, and it's interesting because it kind of ties in with the classes in the morning. Very much so, actually. It's almost like Jat Bharat is speaking here, but it's Lord Krishna. Yeah, I was giving class the other day, and to me it seems that what Jat Bharat is describing, it's a little bit more detailed, more intricate, a little bit different, in the sense that it's Jat Bharat, it's another person, it's the same knowledge, but it's just slightly different. Like we have different swamis. And they say all the same thing, but they have different moods, so they say it a little different. So the same with Jat Bharat. And it's also a discussion. It's Jat Bharat speaking to the king, and he is kind of in the role of teacher. The king was very humble, and he actually was apologizing. He said, "Oh, I offended you, and you know, please accept my apologies." And then Jat Bharat started to speak. So similarly, Arjuna submitted, and he was also saying, "Oh, I used to sleep with you and talk with you, and I'm very sorry, you know. And I now I'm your student, I'm your disciple, and please instruct me." So it's a very similar situation, actually. So I'll just read it again, because it's, you know, like I said, rather technical. "A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all." So the purport, that is text 8. "A person in Krishna consciousness is pure," this is the purport, "a person in Krishna consciousness is pure in his existence, and consequently he has nothing to do with any work which depends upon five immediate and remote causes. The doer, the work, the situation, the endeavor, and fortune." Yeah, so Krishna, I'll just read the next verse, Krishna is saying, because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. Yeah, so maybe I should first explain that. So we have here seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping, and breathing. So it's interesting how Krishna describes kind of material life, you know. And of course, the first five are the senses: seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating. Or in other words, the eyes, the ears, the skin, the nose, and the tongue. But then Krishna says, moving about, that is the legs, sleeping, of course we need to sleep, breathing, prana in Sanskrit, so like that, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. So it's just interesting. So Krishna talks about the five knowledge acquiring senses, and then about the legs, which is a working sense, and then he says sleeping and breathing. So when we sleep, even the here the person in divine consciousness, when he sleeps, Krishna says, he still knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. So how that works, I don't know exactly. Because when I sleep, I'm just gone. Prabhupada says, actually, that we should... we know we have to chant 16 rounds minimum. But Prabhupada says that we should try and chant more. We should chant 24 hours a day. We're just listening to Satchinanda Maharaj. He was quoting this from the Nectar of Instruction. I chanted 32 rounds for a few months, many years ago. And I did start to chant the mantra in my dreams. So that is one idea, how this can work, a very practical solution, how to know that we are not really sleeping. Of course, even if you chant in your dreams, at least if I speak for myself, I still think that I was, you know, it was real. I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm in a dream and I'm sleeping. I was thinking, I don't know what I was thinking, but anyway, it's good if you sleep and you chant, because at least then in your dream you know that you're a devotee. Because I also had dreams, and then I kind of went back to my so-called old life, you know, and I went to bars and like that, you know. So that you really don't want to dream about these things. You want to dream about chanting Hare Krishna. So, and sometimes I dream also about Srila Prabhupada, especially Prabhupada in his deity form, some other. I always dream about that. And then that the deity starts to talk or starts to move. So that is very nice if you can dream like that. Of course, he's not saying dreaming here specifically, he's saying sleeping, but it's mentioned in the Sanskrit. It says svapan, and that is translated as dreaming by Srila Prabhupada. And svapna, I think, means dream. So, but in the translation, Prabhupada says sleeping. So, but yeah, the point is that we should chant so much that when we sleep or dream, that the mantra is going on. Actually, the mantra should be going on all the time. That's actually the idea. Prabhupada says 16 rounds on the beats, 100 rounds off the beats. And then Krishna says, while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. So again, we'll just look at it shortly. Speaking is the voice, it's the working sense. And evacuating, it's like the anus, that is also a working sense. But then he says receiving. So that's interesting. Of course, receiving can also mean receiving a nice wife. So it can relate to the genitals. But receiving, of course, it means anything. You receive a gift, you receive some prasadam. So Yeah, it is difficult actually. Like I had many birthdays and I never really got what I wanted. I always got disappointed. It's difficult to receive a gift. And you know, why did I get disappointed? Because I identified with my body. You know, but the divine, the person in divine consciousness doesn't do that. He knows that it's only the material senses engaged in their object. So he sees everything in relation to Krishna. Like Prabhupada would receive things and then he would immediately give them away. Well, not immediately, but he would give them away the next day or like that. Sometimes he would use them. But yeah, that is the Krishna conscious person. And then opening or closing his eyes. Now this is most amazing. How many times do we open and close our eyes? I don't know what is the biological number, but it must be a lot. So the person in divine consciousness, he's actually conscious of when he closes and opens his eyes, and he knows this is just a machine. So it's quite a, Prabhupada says, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. It's quite a high level, you know, that you're aware of Krishna even when you blink your eyes. And it's a nice thought of Lord Krishna. Now I'll explain a little bit the purport. A person in Krishna consciousness is pure in his existence and consequently has nothing to do with any work which depends upon five immediate and remote causes. Yeah, then Prabhupada gives five things: the doer, the work, the situation, the endeavor, and fortune. So I don't know exactly what he's talking about. You have five immediate causes and five remote causes, but he only gives five here. I would say that these are immediate causes. The doer, that is us. We're doing things. So we have to be conscious of these things, because if we're not conscious of it, then we kind of get, you know, in devotee land, so to speak, we say, you know, passion. We get in passion and we just get, and we forget that we're not the body. So you got to understand that you're the doer. Actually, you're not the doer, but the body is engaged. That is kind of the doer. We're just discussing it. Eh? It's part of material nature. If we have some time, I can explain that a little bit more elaborate. But for now, I want to focus on this. So you have the doer, then you have the work. What are you actually doing? You're doing some work. He was working in the garden. I'm working on a computer. The doer, the work. Then the situation. I don't know what that means exactly. But, you know, like, for instance, I'm sitting in my room. That is maybe part of the situation. Huh? I'm situated, I'm sitting on a chair. I also have my mental state. That is also part of the situation. So many things are part of the situation. You know, it might be raining, right? Situation. Then you like your gardening. If it starts raining, then it becomes difficult. Then it says here the endeavor. Okay, so you have work and endeavor. It's two different things. It means it seems. So to me, it sounds a little bit same, the work and the endeavor. But it's not. If you think about it, it's not really the same. Work is you work something, and like I used to work in a call center. That was my work. But endeavor is different. You have to call and you have to read from a script. That's the endeavor. So you're working in the call center and then you do have to do the endeavor. So it's a little bit, it's a subtle difference. I don't know exactly, you know, what Prabhupada means, but that is at least as much as I can explain it, the difference. And then it says fortune. Fortune. So you cannot do anything without fortune. Like where This is verse 8 and 9, Prabhu, from the 5th chapter. Like we're just talking about gardening and it's raining, you know, so that is, well, in one sense, for the garden it's good, it's fortunate, but for the person working in the garden it's kind of unfortunate. If it starts to, like, thunder, then better not to work in the garden, it gets dangerous, you know. You are kind of pushing your luck. Luck and fortune are the same. So, you need fortune. You need to be blessed, otherwise you can't do anything. We need to be very aware of these things. The doer, the work, the situation, the endeavor and fortune. We need to be aware, I'm very fortunate that I can work here. Wherever we work, in the garden or behind the computer. So it's very important. But otherwise we think, I deserve this. I'm the doer. And again, we get into this whole material consciousness. This is because he engages in the loving transcendental service of Krishna. So Prabhupada is explaining, you know, how the person in divine consciousness thinks. Okay. I'll just read on and we'll just comment a little bit more. Although he appears to be acting with his body and senses, he is always conscious of his actual position, which is spiritual engagement. In material consciousness, the senses are engaged in sense gratification. But in Krishna consciousness, the senses are engaged in the satisfaction of Krishna's senses. This is all quite clear. Therefore, the Krishna conscious person is always free, even though he appears to be engaged in affairs of the senses. That also is very clear to me. Activities such as seeing and hearing are actions of the senses meant for receiving knowledge, whereas moving, speaking, evacuating, etc. are actions of the senses meant for work. A Krishna conscious person is never affected by the actions of the senses. He cannot perform any act except in the service of the Lord, because he knows that he's the eternal servitor of the Lord. Yeah, so that last sentence, it needs a little comment. He cannot perform any act except in the service of the Lord, because he knows that he's the eternal servitor of the Lord. So that person in divine consciousness, as Krishna says it, or Prabhupada says here, a person in Krishna consciousness, he is aware, I am eternal servitor of Krishna, of the Lord. So if you're really aware of that, then you cannot really... And Satchananda Swami was explaining, you can do things out of duty, but if you do it out of love, then you can't really do anything else. Because you feel, no, this is my Lord, and we know from the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is everywhere, he's in every atom, he's in our heart. There's so many other witnesses, the sun, the moon, the wind. So he knows, no, I have to serve. I have to serve Krishna. You know, I can't do anything else. I would feel guilty. It would not be, you know, especially when you love Krishna, when there is love, then it will become natural. But even out of duty, we can just with our intelligence think, no, I should not do this. This is not what Prabhupada wants. It's not devotional service. But gradually it has to develop in love. Okay, I'll stop here. So I'll leave room for a few questions. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's basically the same. Because here also it said the performer, the endeavor, many different kinds of endeavor. Yeah, it's a little different, yeah. It's a little different. Well, here it says the super soul, but we were just talking about fortune. So you can compare that with that. Yeah, I don't know. I have to look into it. I don't know. Have to look into it. Anything else? If there's a specific method? Well, I mean, we discussed it a little bit. The main thing is just chanting Hare Krishna. And, yeah, I discussed it also the other day in the Bhagavatam class. I mean, ultimately, you do have to surrender. And surrender means surrender to a spiritual master and take initiation from him. And as Krishna says, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. That is part of the process. Prabhupada actually says you cannot really be humble unless you take initiation, because initiation means to submit. So that is part of humility. I know one devotee used to say, you should at least find one person where you say, okay, he knows more than me. He is more advanced than me. Let me accept him as an authority. At least one person. And that person you can submit yourself to. It's better if there's more than one. But it should be actually all the persons. Ultimately, you should think everybody is more advanced. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Now we'll chant Hare Krishna till Darshan, led by His Christ Manu Prabhu and His Father. Hare Krishna.